Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Mackenzie Gore against Wheeler today, opening day, Nats Park, 4:05, first pitch against the Phillies, and Bob Carpenter will start his final season as the lead voice of the Nationals on Masson. He joins us right now. What are you going to do this time next year? You play a lot of golf?
I'm going to be listening to you on the radio. And it'll be the first time in about 20 years that you and I haven't visited on opening day. Kevin, I think you're the one guy who's called me every year on opening day, and it's become sort of a tradition for you and me. So, I don't know, maybe I'll have to tune in and see who you have on next year.
Well, I can still have you on next year. We can still talk, even though you're not calling the game. Yes, I have had you on every single year opening day, and I've had you on at other various times during the course of the year. And I find one of the reasons I love having you on is sometimes we end up talking about a lot more than just the Nationals. And I don't know that everybody knows this about you, but you were long established as an outstanding play-by-play voice in multiple sports before you came to Washington to start calling Nats games. And I'm wondering, over your 40-plus year career as a play-by-play announcer, why do you think, what's been the thing that has been most appealing about the way you've called games, in your opinion? I'm not asking you to self-promote, but there are a couple of things that I've always enjoyed about you, and I'm wondering if you have a sense of why you've been able to relate all of these years and do it well.
Well, my sister got a job with the Cardinals when I was 14 years old, so I got to hang around the ballpark. I had tickets. I used to go out in the lobby after the game just so I could see the players come up the stairs from downstairs and exit the ballpark. And so, you know, Kevin, I've been around professional athletes for a long time, and I think that maybe helped me have a sense of, hey, they're people too. They're not gods. You don't get on your knees and worship these guys. They're hardworking, talented young men. And I think maybe that's helped me over the years kind of have an even keel perspective on the different things I've done. And I always wanted to be a baseball announcer once I realized I was not going to be the next great left fielder for the Cardinals at 5'10 and 148 pounds with no power and a little bit of speed. And I always thought, wow, broadcasting would be that'd be a great next best thing. So I know that some producers at ESPN verbalized this to me over my 17 years there, that whatever the sport, they always knew they could trust me and they could count on me to be prepared. And I always wanted to be the best prepared guy out there, because I knew there were guys who had deeper voices and maybe more dynamic personalities than I had. But I always wanted to be the hardest working guy. And I think I told myself that way, way back when I was coming out of school, that maybe that was one way I could separate myself from the pack. And Kevin, it's just mind-boggling to me that I've gotten to do Division I basketball for 40 years. I did two World Cups, including five games here at RFK back in 94 when the city was on fire for soccer. And I'll tell you, when Italy played Mexico, this town was crazy for a couple of days. I'll never forget that. You know, and I got to do six or seven college football bowl games back when it meant something to do a bowl game, because there weren't that many, and some NCAA basketball tournaments, and obviously the baseball. So I grew up a well-rounded sports fan, not just one sport. I loved hockey. I was a teenager when the Blues were born in St. Louis, although I've only done a handful of minor league games way back when for my local cable system in Tulsa. So I just think maybe getting to know all different sports and approaching them with a good work ethic. And the other thing is, I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of students last night up at Joe Yashiroff's department up at the University of Maryland. And, I told them the way you treat people on the way is important too. Because, Kevin, you know this. Kids who were production assistants and pulling cables when I started at ESPN in 1988, They're now producers, and they're directors,
right?
And they're executive producers. They, you know, they remember it if you treat them well. And I think it's a lesson for us, no matter what business we're in or what walk of life we're in, that, you know, the way you treat people, I think, helps you in the long run, too. Because if it comes down between you and another person, they might say, hey, that's a really good guy. Let's go for him.
So I wrote down a couple of things because I if you didn't mention them, I was going to mention them. The first thing you said, and I wrote this down, I'm like, in listening to you call games, and I've told you this before, I can remember being in my, you know, apartment in College Park Towers on Hartwick Road, for those of you College Park people. I didn't live in the one on Knox. I lived on in the one on Hartwick, watching ESPN college basketball games with Bob Carpenter on the call. That's when I was first introduced to Bob Carpenter. But over the years, you are always prepared, which obviously speaks to work ethic. I also think you've had a very conversational way about you in the way you've called games. And there's something you can't teach, and I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Some people are likable and some aren't, and I think you've had that ability for to be very likable over the years. And part of that is your conversational approach, style to it. But you're going to be missed, and you got one more year. We'll have plenty of times to have these discussions, including maybe before your final call. But I was thinking about having this conversation with you, and those were the things that I wrote down in terms of why you've been, you know, had the run you've had.
Well, I appreciate that, Kevin. That's very nice of you. And here's another thing, you know, it's not that hard to be nice to everybody. And some days are better than others. You know, some days I'm in a better mood than other days, as we all are. And this crossed my mind a number of years ago when I was getting out of the my car at the ballpark one day. You know, some things were going on, and it just wasn't one of those great days. But I'm doing a major league ball game that night. So when I got out of the car, I kind of kicked myself, not literally, in the rear end. But I said to myself, you know what? Right now you're getting out of your car in Lot A at Nationals Park. There are 100 young people out there who are getting out of their cars at minor league ballparks, college ballparks, high school ballparks, JUCO ballparks. Some of them are just PA announcers getting out of their cars, and they're excited about the game they're going to. Don't you dare ever take for granted what you have, because there are a lot of people out there who would trade, you know, anything to do one year of Major League Baseball, and here I am at 4 o'clock today about to embark on my 42nd year. It boggles my mind. I have no idea why I've been so fortunate. You know, some of the stuff we talked about before. But, you know, Kev, in this business, and I've seen this with a lot of guys who are really, really talented, it is so easy to get wrapped up in yourself. And I think our Nationals fans know, for me, yeah, it's about working with Franny. It's about working with Dan, you know, and being around the guys and all that. But I'm not a guy who tries to hang around the clubhouse all the time and be buddy-buddy with all the players. I love those guys, you know, but they have their own little inner sanctum there. And I'm not a guy who goes and sits in the manager's office for 30 or 45 minutes every day. My number one obligation when I go on the air is to make our fans feel good about being a Washington Nationals fan. And some night when we have a walk-off homer, it's pretty easy to do that. Other times when you're getting your brains beat out 8-0 in the fourth inning, that's when you find out if you can pull this off. So my number one priority is always how we are relating to our fans, and nothing in the next 6 months is going to change that for me.
You know, part of what you said reminds me of something that my father told me: treat normal people like superstars and superstars like normal people. And it sounds like that is been part of your MO over the years. All right, let's talk.
And one more thing, Kevin.
Yeah.
My dad, he was a coal miner when he was a young man, and he and his would-be wife were dating, and my mom told him, she said, I'm not marrying you until you get out of the coal mines. So he went and trained himself to be a welder, and he worked on barges and towboats for 40 years on the Mississippi River in South St. Louis. Two summers of college, he made me put on the hard hat, the steel-toed shoes, the long blue work shirt, the blue jeans, and everything, working in St. Louis summers down at that shipyard. I never, ever wanted to go back to school so bad in my life.
Yeah.
You know, in some instances, I wanted summer to be over so I could go back to school. But my point is, that instilled a work ethic in me.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe someone of privilege hasn't you know, experience that the way they grew up. But, you know, we grew up with what I would consider lower middle class in a working person's neighborhood. And, you know, we play ball morning, noon, and night. The toughest part of the day was mom calling us in to quit playing ball and come in for dinner. And, you know, those values my dad instilled in me long, long ago have stayed with me to this day.
We're talking to longtime Nats voice on Masson, play-by-play voice and face, Bob Carpenter. All right, let's talk a little baseball. What needs to go right for this team to, let's just say, on September 1st, be legitimately in a wild card race?
Young pitching, followed by young pitching. Because I think CJ and James Wood and Dylan Cruz and Luis Garcia, hopefully Kay Barrett, you know, shows us what he can do. And then you got the veterans mixed in. You know, I think the team offensively will be better than last year. We were second from last in home runs to the White Sox in all of baseball. Not that home runs are everything, because to me, I abide by the old Tony La Russa axiom that extra base hits, whatever they are the important thing. And doubles are one of the most important things in baseball. If you have a team that can drive the ball, doubles, triples here and there with the speed guys, and, you know, some home runs, you got a chance. And, you know, the Nats, I think, scored the fewest runs other than Miami in the National League, and the Marlins have their own set of problems. So I think the offense is definitely going to be better. The defense has to be better, Kevin. Second worst to Miami in the National League last year. And the first half of the season seemed to be acceptable, but then after that, there were just some defensive things that did not go well. But these young pitchers, did a couple of them sneak up on people last year? Are they for real? Those are the questions we have to ask. And so, you know, McKenzie gets the call today. He's got to be the leader. He's a young veteran guy now. You know, still a young kid, still a pup. But, he's got some veteran traits to him. Jake Irvin on Saturday, you know, and then you've got Mitchell Parker and Michael Soroka, who I visited with in Florida last week, so impressed with him. And Trevor Williams, we'll see what he contributes, and he's going to be a guy who's a leader, too. It's just really, really sad that DJ Hers is not able to answer the call here because he might have completed that young bunch. And then the bullpen, I think, is going to be great. I told Kyle Finnegan, I am the happiest guy in D.C. that you are back because I don't like calling blown saves in the top or the bottom of the ninth inning. And hopefully the bullpen will be good, some really good arms out there. But, you know, Kevin, it's going to boil down to the young pitching, airtight defense, and if you can do that, you can win games. Because Whitey Herzog used to say, I can wait for offense. I cannot wait for defense. It's got to be there every day. And when you have a young pitching staff, you better play good defense.
Are you confident that Mackenzie Gore is on the verge and or is capable of becoming a true ace?
I think he's got that capability. I listen closely to the baseball people. I believe them before I believe myself because they're the experts. And when they tell me the electric stuff this kid has and catchers who have caught him and, you know, hitters and sim games and, you know, live BP and stuff like that who've had to step in against him. I mean, when those guys say things, you listen to it, and his stuff is serious. And I just think he needs to get over that, maybe that little mental hump. Maybe it's not a little one. It's still, you know, maybe a big thing for him. Don't let a walk. Don't let an error behind you, you know, make your inning fall apart. And when he figures it out, you know, he's going to be really, really good. Bob Gibson once told me, when you're a young pitcher, you know where you want the ball to go. You just don't know how to get it to go there until you've been around the block a few times. And if a guy like Bob Gibson struggled with control, as did Nolan Ryan and some other young guys early in their career, not comparing McKenzie to Hall of Famers at this point, but he's a young guy with a ton of potential, and when he gets his command, look out.
If I told you that we were having a conversation in October and the Nats had a much better season offensively than maybe most predicted, where did it come from?
Well, it's going to come from James Wood. It's going to come from CJ getting on base, Jacob Young with his speed getting on base. You know, his defense, unquestioned, it's going to be great. And then, you know, James Wood, I mean, you put a kid like that who's still basically nearly a rookie in the number three hole, that's a pretty big deal. And then veteran leadership, and we got to have pop from Josh Bell. So glad that Josh is back here. Nathaniel Lowe, you know, we need him to do what he did with the Rangers 2 years ago. And you sprinkle in some of those guys. So, but it's going to be the young guys and the young guys who can run, getting on base. Dylan Cruz is a key part of that, and then let some of those big boppers drive them in. And I'm not so sure that at some point this season we won't see Robert Hassel III coming off a great spring. But you know, young guys with speed getting on base, veterans who know how to do that, driving in runs. Because I remember Tony Perez when he was part of that big red machine. He said, I have one job, and that's to drive in runs. I don't care what my batting average is, home runs, whatever. My number one job is to drive in runs, and that's what those veteran guys have to do.
Bob, as always, thanks so much. Enjoy today. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. On the call today at 4:05, Gore and Wheeler. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, buddy. And if I'm not on a tee box or a green somewhere on this day next year, we'll do it again if you want to.
We will do it again. But if you are, I will totally understand. And we can record it the night before.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Sounds good. All
right,
buddy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep. Bob Carpenter, everybody. The Nats 71-91 a year ago. And they're over under on wins this year, right in that same ballpark. So we'll see. They need, as he's mentioned, a lot of the pitching to come through, a lot of the bullpen to come through, but they need more scoring for sure as well. James Wood, Dylan Cruz, Jacob Young, etc. CJ, you know, potentially a 30 home run guy. Wood 25 plus. They're going to need a lot of that. It would be nice to have a competitive team into the latter months of the summer, heading into the fall for the first time in a while. All right, we will get back to Maryland. We will talk some hoops, not just coaching situation, give you guys a chance to weigh in on the Maryland situation as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.